Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
If anyone listens and has slaves, do not let them clean your weapons. Even if you can't be bothered to do it yourself, no one likes to clean their guns.
If anyone's listening and is a slave, get a weapon.
It's not. No one likes to clean guns. It's a boring, it's a thankless task. But as demonstrated by this ship, you do it yourself all the time.
Yeah, it's very sad. That's the thing about history, is it doesn't always go the way you want it to.
No, and it's already happened, so there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Sort of sat and bone-idly sort of reading it in broken English off a phone, passing it off as entertainment.
The Year Is with Red and Bobby.
Welcome to The Year Is podcast, the podcast where every episode, me, comedian, philanthropist, father, home liver, car driver, Bobby Mayer, and degenerate.
No, I get to, do yours and mine.
Oh, no, yeah.
I should do mine.
No, you know. Degenerate, thoughtless, dullard. And comedian, Red Richardson.
Thank you very much.
We go back to a year in history. We talk about the weirdest, the most interesting, the strangest things
that have happened
in that year.
Interesting. That's what the podcast is, if you're new to it.
Yeah, that... I think that... I like that, actually, every week, getting to talk about me a bit.
Yeah.
And then...
I'll do them next week.
No, it's me. I do them every time. Why? What would you say about me?
Pathetic.
No.
Untrustworthy. Slimy.
Wait, I'm actually... What's the opposite of pathetic?
Competent.
Yeah.
That's not the opposite, but I'm that.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not... I'm unslimy.
A competent man. I was on the way here. I am considering a trip to Tulum, Mexico. Have you been, Jody?
No, what's there?
It looks good. It's in Mexico.
This always happens, though. I feel like every month you're fantasizing about a different holiday.
Well, this is the one.
Kind of your MO for life.
Why not? Who isn't, you know? There was thoughts of the Maldives, but then there's been a price issue. How they see, you know, what it should cost is not in line.
Is overvaluing themselves.
Yeah, so until they lower the price, it does look very good. But no, I was talking to someone, I was like, have you been to Tulum? And they said, oh, it's really touristy. Which I find it funny when a tourist says that, you know? They go, oh, but like they don't see themselves as being a tourist. They're like, no, I just blend into the culture, you know?
Listen, Red, I want to feel special. When I'm there, I want to feel like the white savior has arrived.
Everyone thought you were from Gambia.
Yeah, it's called the Gambia.
The Gambia, but, you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
As someone who's been.
Yeah, you have been.
But that's what I want. I want to show up and feel like, oh my God.
Well, I'm not like the other people.
I'm not like the other people. They can't even believe I came. Wow.
Well, it's like in Thailand, I go, can I have pad Thai, but make it Thai spicy and give them a look like, I'm one of you guys. I'm not one of those plebs. And then I'd like start crying and vomiting.
10 minutes
too spicy.
Later.
What do you do to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are at an age where people, because when you're like 20, people are like, want to go to an all-inclusive? And you're like, ugh.
Oh, no,
and I'm now it's like, that is the best. Yes.
What
please.
Time am I eating?
Yeah.
No, it sounds great.
Just lead the pigs to the trough, please.
I was looking at some all
and
inclusives.
And the pigs will pay to eat.
Some all inclusives in Spain. And I found some proper, like, they're basically like giant council estate hotel sort of things with like a pool in the middle. And then they do, it's all inclusive, but they're like a variety of drinks and spirits you can drink all day. And I just thought.
And by a variety, they mean one.
They mean vodka and Coke or whiskey and Coke. And I just had this image of just a sort of British couple just drink without any ice, just whiskey and Coke all day by the pool.
Yeah.
Racist at 2 p.m., fighting each other at 4 p.m., by 6, probably fighting someone else, 8, karaoke.
Yeah.
That's probably the routine.
So what's your strategy? Like, when you get to Tulum, what do you want?
I want to go...
In this new fantasy.
And I've actually Googled how to say it, and I can't remember how to say it, but the cenotes, the sea notes. You know those underground caves you can swim in? I want to go there. I mean,
do you want to swim in a cave?
I don't think I could. I like the idea of it.
It'd be too scary.
It'll be. They have a crocodile, but they say he's friendly.
Well, they drug him. That's yeah, what they, yeah. Whenever a crocodile is really friendly, it means they his breakfast is ketamine.
Yeah,
and he just lays there in a confused daze while people touch him.
Yeah.
And he sits there thinking, if I avoid breakfast one day, I'm going to eat all of it.
Yeah, one, yeah.
If somehow I get away from this breakfast
that'll
that
he's
force feeding me. I'm going to fucking bite you all.
I'll be
and
the
I'm
one.
I'm going to eat your kids in front of you.
It's then people won't even be. They'll be like, he shouldn't not gone into his habitat. That's what happened, you know. And someone put that fuck around, find out meme underneath her.
I like fuck around, find out.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, no, there's that. There's the Mayan temples I could go visit. It looks good.
Well, you'd always be kidnapped by a cartel.
Yeah.
That happens a lot in Mexico.
That's a worry. But what, do they kidnap?
Often they just
tourists.
I wouldn't Google it.
I'm a tourist. I wouldn't Google it.
They do.
Really? Jody, can you quickly Google, can you get kidnapped in Tulum?
Does Google Tulum safe?
Imagine if they kidnapped me in this podcast was my only hope. And they had to,
our Patreons.
Patreons had to bail me out.
We need to donate to Red's kidnapping fund. Okay, Red, well...
Jody, you'd have to cancel the sliding down the side of the building.
But you know what would happen, though?
What?
They'd all give £5.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that's what you gave to Jody, that's what we give to you. Hope the kidnappers like it.
According to OSAC, the Overseas Security Advisory Council, Tulum is moderately safe to visit and travelers.
Moderately safe.
Yeah. Travelers should exercise increased caution in the area.
Okay. Can you try and buy cocaine at 5 in the morning in dangerous areas in Tulum? Google that. No, I'm joking.
Buying cocaine in
5 a.m. Is it safe?
Yeah.
No, I think you're fine unless you do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you walk around...
And also, I think if you sent, like, Rosie to get it, that's safer.
Possibly.
Because she just has a nicer way about her and sweet energy.
Yeah. Well, it's safer for me because... She'll be in danger.
Instead of you.
Instead of me. That's why it's so. But the food looks great. And it's so cheap. I found Airbnb, £70 a night. You can have your own, like,
but you're not
penthouse.
Asking the why is this cheap question. What time of year are you wanting to
I'm
going to
go peak season, January. And it's still...
Is that warm?
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay.
£450 return. Direct flight. And as someone who travels... Once to twice a year, a direct flight is a godsend.
Yeah, layovers.
I hate layovers more than anything in the world. So yeah, there we are.
Could I come?
No.
Whoa, I feel like we've been enjoying each other's company on the podcast.
Maybe we could do a pod trip. If you come, Jody's got to come. I say, Rosie, we can't do it on Zoom. I'm bringing the podcast with me. And we've got to bring this. And Jenny has to set it up everywhere we go. And we'll just be podcasting the whole trip.
Yes.
That's not really a holiday for Rosie, is it?
Well, she'll have to like help with the cameras and carrying the equipment. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be good, though.
It is dangerous out there. There is like, the cartels are definitely... Definitely at each other's throats, shall we say.
Jody, can you Google murders Tulum?
Yeah, have a look if there's anyone been. I think there is a lot. I don't know if people. I don't know if tourists get kidnapped and held to ransom. I think that's.
We're going to find out.
April 12th, 2023. Mexican tourist shot to death during robbery in resort town of Tulum.
That's a Mexican tourist, they said, didn't.
You look very Mexican,
that could
Red.
Be me. That's you. Shot to death.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
how about this one? 11th of February, 2023. Two dead after violent altercation in a Tulum hostel.
Okay, well, I won't be in a hostel. But how can he be a Mexican tourist?
Well, he's Mexican, but he's not from Tulum.
Okay.
So it's like if I went
wait,
to...
Wait, if I go to Wigan, am I a tourist?
You're a Wigan tourist.
That's so funny.
Yes. I'm a tourist. I'm just visiting Wigan. Yeah. I'm touring Wigan.
Yeah. 4th of April, 2023. Four dead in drug-related shooting on Mexican... Oh, Mexico Beach in Cancun, sorry. Mexico is plagued by cartel-related bloodshed that's seen more than 300,000 people killed since 2006.
I might go to Wigan, I think. The Wigan
any
tourist.
Any other Tulum murders?
Go,
though,
oh, Wigan's been ruined by tourism. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's so touristy.
Yeah.
When I got up there, I said to the people, I'm like, oh, God, you get sick of the
that
tourists.
Guy's, that guy's from the Midlands.
Yeah. yeah, well, you're missing the whole spring break element of Mexico and fajitas. I think if you focus on that stuff and not the fucking car bombings and shootings, please, Jody.
And
but yeah,
sometimes they don't shoot them. Sometimes they like
cut their heads off.
They cut their heads off, or they just bury them in a. They put them in a shallow grave and then shoot them once they're in the grave.
Yeah, that happens as well. That's a fact.
Cut off the.
They're
they cut
so
off their
violent,
hands.
Aren't they? They do stuff. They think like shooting someone is just. Like too tame. They do the. Remember the. Oh, it's Colombian necktie. Have you heard? It's horrible. They slit your throat and pull your tongue out from your through your throat, and it's a sort of like funny prank that kills you.
That seems mean.
It does. Yeah, it's disgusting, but they are very brutal.
Yeah.
Mm.
Kind of medieval in the
yeah.
their approach to violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sort of like put a rat
guys,
in a box
have
and
you
scratch
not heard
your belly.
Of drone strikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
In the civilized world now, that's how we kill.
That's how we kill.
Yes.
We press a button, your wedding is over. Because we have humanity.
Yeah. We've advanced.
So what year are we doing today, Bobby?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Hmm.
We're doing a year.
I actually would.
In which... Why are we doing it? Well, I just thought of it, and then I thought, I wonder if anything good happened that year. Mm. And then it did.
Were
so
you
I
just pondering
it.
A year? You thought,
yeah,
I wonder what happened
in.
That
it
year.
It popped in, and then I found some stories like, we're going back to 1766.
1766.
Now, I didn't know much about it.
No?
That's pre-American Revolution.
Yep.
Kind of murky. But I found this cool story. So, there was a war between Burma, modern-day Myanmar, and Thailand, modern-day Thailand. So, in 1766, outside the walls of the Thai capital of Ayutthaya...
Not Bangkok, just say Bangkok.
Well, I don't actually know if it's the same place.
Okay, okay.
Tens of thousands of invaders from Burma...
Mm-hmm.
Under the command of General Namayo,
oh God,
Thayapate and General Maya.
Why don't you
Nawatra,
just do English history, Bobby?
Are confronted by Thai defenders led by General
Payatasin. Oh, this is going to be hell.
The defenders are overwhelmed, and survivors take refuge inside Ayutthaya. The siege continues for 15 months before the Burmese attackers collapse the walls by digging tunnels and setting fire to debris. The city falls on April 9th, 1767, and King Etcat is killed.
King Etcat.
Now, who's King Etcat? That's probably what you're thinking.
Yep.
Well, luckily, I know quite a bit about him.
Oh, that's good.
So King Etcat was a son of Boromekot.
Yeah.
His elder brother, Taima Tibetic, was made the front palace in 1732. So I think that means like hey, you're going to be king. So yeah. His older brother, Temutebekit, was made, you're going to be king. However, Temutebet had an affair with two of his father's wives.
Okay, nice.
Which I got to say, that takes some game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
especially if his dad's the king, am I right?
His dad is the king. He's a prince and he is fucking his dad's wives.
You know who do that? Prince Louis.
Yeah.
Our future king.
His little waves.
I love that kid. that medieval prince. He's a real throwback, isn't he? Okay, so yeah, he's sleeping with his dad's wives.
So then...
Just from now on, just we know it's in Thailand, just say the king and his son. You don't have to do any names. No. I think we leave the names.
No, I can do the names.
Well,
so
then
I'm
the podcast becomes something very different. It's not.
I think
we lose some of our credibility as historians when you read the names out like that.
Okay, well, I was just reading them phonetically.
I love the thought of someone who's just going, oh, I need a new history podcast, clicking on this and just crashing their car with anger. Like a historian or like a history teacher or just someone who just has a level of intelligence and just goes, no, this is...
We are the two smartest men in the world.
That is true.
So, he's fucking his dad's wives, which is kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
That was like you porn energy in the 1700s. You know, now you porn filled with the step fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, this guy was leading the charge. Okay. However, we'll call him Ekitat.
Ekitat.
He found out about his brother fucking his dad's wives because his brother told him.
That's not good.
Oh, no, sorry. His brother found out and then he told the king.
Yeah. So his brother snitched him out.
His brother
getting
snitched
in competition
him out.
Out of the way so he can be king.
And then because he fucked his dad's wives, he was thus beaten to death.
And none of them were his mum, I'm assuming. Okay. He's not that disgusting. He was beaten to death. Who by?
Well, his dad got some people to beat him to death.
That's horrible. Could have shot him in the head.
They didn't have guns, I don't think, in 1766.
No, drones? Did they have drones?
No, they couldn't do humanitarian drone strikes then.
Yeah, maybe just poisonous food. I think beating to death seems a bit harsh, especially on your own son.
One would agree, but I don't.
You don't agree, no.
One would... Listen, you have to... If you... Let's say you have 10 sons. One of your sons starts fucking all your wives, not their mom. That's gross. Then... You either set an example or there's a worry that the rest of your sons are going to fuck your wives.
And I suppose if you've got 10 kids, they're very get quite disposable.
By the way, this guy doesn't have 10 kids. I made that up.
Oh, okay.
I was just
okay.
Picking a number. I don't know.
Well, he probably did. I think most medieval kings had 10.
Probably even more.
Joe Nick Cannon's got 12 children.
Yeah, he loves to come.
Mm.
He's got good sperm.
But he says he dates women of a certain age, and he says they all are of an age where they want to start having babies. So he's like, who am I to deny them of that?
Can you imagine having a child with someone that already has 11 children?
But he earns millions, so you know what I mean?
Millions? But you cut that. That million becomes half a million after taxes. Because then you just start cutting the pie up.
The pie is
there's not
very
much
small.
Left.
No. Like, they'll be like Nick Cannon's kid. But they'll be like, look, I'm not that rich. Trust me.
Yeah.
Like, there's 12 of us.
And there's only 12 now. There's going to be
gonna
more.
He's going to keep going.
He's a breeder.
He's only like 45 years old. He'll probably be having kids. De Niro's just had a kid at 79.
That's so gross.
Yeah, he's seventh.
What?
De Niro's seventh.
Seventh kid.
Yeah.
79.
The dust he must be coming.
Well, no, clearly not. He's having children.
But like... I feel like it is so selfish to have a kid at 79.
I don't. People on Twitter are saying that. And they're going, what is selfish? And you're like, oh, just what? Like, you're going to die. And it's like, okay, but you know.
But it is. Yeah. It is selfish.
He's De Niro. He's leaving behind like £10 million to that one
However,
child.
However, it's like, what do you get for your 8th birthday? My father passed away.
Yeah.
Like, statistically... His dad will die on his 4th birthday.
Or if he's lucky, on his 16th.
Yeah, that's the best he's going to get.
But who is the lady? Because I thought De Niro was splitting up with his wife because she be shopping, apparently.
I'm not sure. He didn't reveal who the lucky lady is.
Didn't he blame her? He said she's the reason he's had to do shit films because she's always spending his money.
I really like
his
that.
His son is an estate agent.
Okay.
With one exclusive client.
His dad.
Yes.
His dad. Yeah, De Niro has a property empire.
So De Niro, when he was filming Taxi Driver, was driving around in bits of New York, Brooklyn, stuff like that. Where is it? It's called, what's his film festival? Tribeca.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he saw these warehouses and was like, they're just derelict. And he was like, what are these doing? And
yeah.
What's funny is everyone goes, yeah, he method acted for the whole time. He's like method acting a deranged cab driver who also has an eye for fucking real estate. But he bought the factories. And now, so he owns like shitloads. And his son was like, maybe I'll become an actor. And then was like, actually, Dad, can I just sell your houses for you for like 15%?
Yeah.
Awesome. What a life.
Just building an empire.
He owns Nobu as well, De Niro.
What's Nobu?
It's like a really expensive like Japanese restaurant. I think they have, what is it called? It's like, they've got this thing called like blackfin cod, which is, there's like, it's been fished into basic extinction, but you can still get it in Nobu. If De Niro likes
there's
you.
There's one fish left.
Yeah.
They're just cutting off pieces.
Yeah. They've got it in a tank at Nobu. They breed it. And then but he owns that. So the kid's going to be all right. He's going to, you know, he'll be like, look.
He's going to be sad though.
Yeah, but. People die. You know, there's 6-year-olds who live, you know, and
everyone I know whose parents died when they were really young is pretty fucked up about it for quite a while.
Of course, it's upsetting.
And then when they're old, they mention it. It, like, stays with them forever. It's just a mean
you know what,
thing.
You know what makes what gets you over grief? Eating a rare extinct fish,
yeah.
Which he's going to be able to do for the rest of his life.
They'll have the funeral after party at Nobu.
Yeah, Nobu. Al Pacino will be there.
Yeah, look to eat a
chimp. Kevin Hart will probably be there. You know, there's going to be a lot of fun people at De Niro's funeral. That kid is going to be comforted by some very talented rich people. Scorsese. De Niro's my favorite actor of all time. It's weird though. Now when I see him in something, I go, "Ugh." Because I'm triggered by, like, analyze this, I think. But in the 70s, he made better films than anyone. I think his run, you know, it was like Godfather, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, King of Comedy. That was that run of, like, 4 or 5 movies. Deer Hunter. I thought the Deer Hunter was boring. And I know that's me.
I've seen Deer Hunter.
The wedding scene at the beginning goes on for, like, 45 minutes. And I like, you know, obviously the bit when he's slapping him going, "Mao," and the guys, you know, and they're playing Russian roulette. That's fun. The rest of it, a bit fucking boring, I've got to say.
Well, tell him. Let him know.
I will. I'll bloody tell him. I'll tell his kid.
Do you know why?
The 6-year-old.
The irony, he probably didn't want a kid, but because of the arthritis in his hands, he was unable to roll a condom over his Viagra-filled penis. His fingers were too arthritic to roll a condom, so he just thought, fuck it. Just no doming this one. He probably can't do it. I doubt he has the dexterity in his fingers because it takes quite a bit of, you know, it's not easy to do. And then sometimes you do it and you only get like halfway down the shaft. And then you have to you try to put the condom on again. You stretch it out and like try to pull it over like a balloon. And it's not going to work. So, I mean, I'm guessing what probably happened is he just was like, I can't do this.
Child number 7. He's got cross-century children.
And he didn't want to embarrass himself to, like, the fucking 18-year-old he's fucking.
Who is it, JD?
It's not out, I checked.
Oh, it's not out. Everyone always goes after the man in this, like Mick Jagger, they went after him. Who are these women letting these men do this?
She's taken one for the team to be set up for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And she had to endure.
He's also one of the most talented people that's ever lived.
Yeah, sure. But regardless, it's an 80-year-old skeleton hovering over top and inside of you and just like rocking back and forth into you. And you have to be aware of
He's got a really intense face as well.
Their hip injury and their knee injury. And they go down on you and then they fall asleep.
This is meant to be a history.
They just fall asleep and then
smut podcast.
He wakes up and you have to pretend he didn't fall asleep because it'll embarrass him.
Oh,
he's very
God.
Touchy.
He went out with Naomi Campbell, I think. Yeah. Back in the day. Yeah. Well,
I imagine maybe she just does all the work. Maybe he just lies down and she just cradles atop him.
When was De Niro born? He was born obviously probably in the 30s, 20s, I reckon. No,
30s. 43.
43. So his son...
20s. He's 100.
On his son's 20th birthday, his dad was born 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird.
And then if his son lives to 100...
His son will live to see the next century, most likely.
Yeah.
So that means that's a 3-century...
It's insane.
Yes.
You know, I read something the other day. Someone said Charles Dance's dad was born in 1874 or
that's
something like that.
That's fucking crazy.
It was something really mental like that. But yeah, so the Thai king has his son beat to death. This is a lesson. You learn stuff from this podcast, moral stuff as well. If yeah. you're out there and you're trying to sleep with one of your dad's wives, don't do it because he will get beaten to death.
So then, Ekatat, who was next in
how
line.
How could we forget Ekatat? That's definitely not how you say his name.
That's how it's about, Ekatat. Well, everyone that knows how to say his name is dead because
I think
was
the
a
eight
while
people
ago.
In Thailand who listen to us are never doing it again, but yeah.
He was next in line and to be the king boy. However, the king halted the appointment and said, you're incompetent. So he didn't get... He said, you're incompetent, you're not going to be king. So... 1 year before his death, he decided to skip him, right? And
yeah.
and forced him into the priesthood
mm-hmm.
and appointed his younger brother, Athumapon, as the front palace.
Okay,
that's what
yeah.
they call a king. In May 1758, Boramakot, that's the king, he died. Uthapon was then crowned. However, 2 months after that, Ekatat returned and claimed for the throne. He settled himself in the Suryat Amarin Palace. Therefore came his name, Somdet Fratinang Suryat Amarin. Literally, the king of Suryat Amarin Palace.
Glad you cleared that up.
Good.
I'm sure everyone's following this very riveting, easy to follow story.
It is easy to follow,
really
thank
is.
You.
It's just
so. Umathon arrested and executed two of his half-brothers, whose names we're not going to say.
We're not. If you're unwilling to say them.
So he killed two of his half-brothers, then he abdicated, entered the priesthood, and said, Ekatat, you can be king, because he saw the writing on the wall. Ekatat was a fucking psycho, was going to kill him, so he just took care of the other two brothers, stepped aside.
Mm-hmm.
So three out of the five brothers are dead by each other's hands,
mm-hmm.
and there's two left. What steps is that? Ekatat, now you're king. So, according to... what is funny?
This is good. No, keep going. Yeah, according to who?
An account of Siamese captive after the fall of Ayutthaya.
Mm.
The early years of Ekatat witnessed a revival attempt. The king followed the tradition of donating money to temples, building new temples. The trade with foreigners was supported. The western coast of ports were active. However, according to Burmese and English accounts, when the Mons took refuge in the kingdom after the Burmese conquest, Ayutthaya became the next target of the Burmese. However, the king was incompetent and only interested in the different pleasures of the flesh. So Ekatat loved pussy.
Yeah.
Or dick, we don't know. But he fucking loved it, right? So then bang, 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 bang. There's a war. Ekatat is killed. Sad.
Poor Ekatat.
It'd be funny if the brother that lived the longest was, you know, the guy who decided to be a priest.
Yeah.
Like in Game of Thrones, the old blind Targaryen dude, Aemon.
Remember,
he's like the last Targaryen, he's still there.
Oh, yeah, God, I forgot he was Targaryen, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The one-eyed raven or whatever. Was that Bran? I can't remember now.
No, he was the three-eyed raven.
He's the three-eyed raven.
The one-eyed raven is less good than a normal raven.
Yeah, that's
you can't
that
brag
shit.
About being a one-eyed raven. I got one eye. Oh, I got two, you fucking loser.
Mm.
But yeah, it's sad when families fight. But that used to be how, in a lot of ancient kingdoms, that's how it is. They'd have, even Ottoman Empire, they'd have a bunch of kids. And then And the Ottoman Empire is only a few hundred years ago. They'd have a, and up until the 19 fucking end of World War One, they'd have a bunch of kids and they'd say, yeah, yeah, fight it out.
Mm.
And the fucking last one, you know, it kind of like encourages competition, but it seems mean to make your, to have a bunch of kids.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then be like, well, whoever doesn't, whoever is left alive gets to be king.
Fuck. I'm still thinking about that De Niro thing, the fact that if he lives to 100, he'll be like, my dad was born 200 years ago.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It is mad. Mm. I know. All because of his poor arthritic fingers.
Stop it.
And he couldn't curl.
What other info have you got from...
On Ekata?
No, I think we've done Ekata, haven't we? It's funny because you can't like remake these people. Like Genghis Khan, I'm sure many times has been pitched like, let's make the Genghis Khan story, but you can't because the amount of like horrible stuff that they did that we can't try and put into sort of fantasy.
I think you mean rape.
Yes, I was dancing around it. But yeah, there was, I'm sure everyone would love to make the, because his story is amazing, you know. They killed his dad.
They're going to make it.
He was outcast.
It. Is that the Mongols?
Yeah, he was.
No, I just, so this podcast I listened to, Empire, the guy hosts it, William Dalrymple, he's a Scottish historian who lives in India.
We had to say his name?
William Dalrymple.
I think you can't say names. Is this a condition? You can't say places.
His last name's Dalrymple. Okay. What do you think it is?
I'm just sure it's not said like that.
That's how he says
no
it.
No one's called Dalrymple.
That's how he says his last name, Dalrymple.
Okay.
He's written a book about the Mongol Empire that's getting adapted into a TV show.
Oh, wicked. Well, it, either good or bad. You know, when they have like that Viking show where they got that idiot like H&M model in the lead. Uhtred, son of Uhtred, I tried to watch. And it just...
I've actually been cast in the spin-off.
What are you in?
The Viking spin-off.
Are you?
Yeah, called Little Vikings.
Little Vikings.
Yeah, I'm the king.
Yeah?
And it's a story of a lesser-known story about the Viking Empire where everyone over 16 died, and except me.
Mm.
And then I'm the king, and then it's a bunch of teens. And... it's in the development phases. It's being written by me. And
he's developing it with Bobby Mayer Productions. Yeah,
Bobby
Mayer.
BM Prod. BM Prod.
Which is also the offices of where we're sat now.
Yeah, well, this room is many things. BM Prod Studios. Shovel Studios.
What's the budget at the moment?
The budget of what?
your series where you're the everyone dies is over 16.
Each episode will cost millions because you know, they'll need a lot of intimacy coordinators for the scenes I have planned.
Record numbers.
A record number of intimacy coordinators for all the scenes I've planned.
Consent forms.
And actually, they're going to be like, Bobby, this is your show. Do you want to, you've written it.
Yeah.
You're producing it. Do you want to direct? And I'll say, no, I want to intimacy coordinate. Oh, I want to coordinate the intimacy.
Anyone who wants to do that job is definitely not. Yeah, God.
Okay. What do you mean? I just think that's where my skills would be best used in telling the teens how to sex each other.
Oh my God. What else happened that year, Bobby? Please make it Western or just sayable somehow.
Okay. Well, don't worry. There's more.
Oh no. Where are we? What part of the world are we going to?
The Mirman slave mutiny.
Oh no. Where was that?
Well, obviously it was in Mirman.
Mm-hmm. Where's Mirman? Is that a place? It's Merman.
So, give me a second.
Doing a podcast with Derek Zoolander.
I'm not. So, there was a mutiny on a ship.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know. So, the Mirman slave mutiny, a slave mutiny on Mirman. One of the Dutch East India Company's fleet of slave ships took place in 1766 and lasted for 3 weeks. Her final voyage was cut short by the mutiny of the Malagasy captives on board, who had been sold to Dutch East India Company officials on Madagascar to be enslaved by the company in its Cape colony in southern Africa. So it's quite sad. These slaves are on a slave ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it over.
Then why is that sad? Isn't that good? It's funny that that should be a good for you. This is a sad story.
It's going to be. No, no. It's sad at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's really sad. These slaves escaped.
So the mutiny began under the de facto leadership of three men. The primary leader's name was unknown, but the names of the others were recorded as.
Well, no.
Two dudes.
Two guys, yeah.
One of the dudes,
yeah,
a man of 26, had been enslaved by the king of Toulier, now Toliera.
Okay.
Through an elaborate deception. So they mutiny. It's going okay.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just getting into it.
You can't just... what you should do when you research is take bits.
I tried. No, I thought I had it. I thought I had it, and then I didn't have it. So the crew members, they reached agreement with the slaves who overtook the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They said, spare our lives, and we'll take you back to Madagascar.
Wait, so...
But this truce broke down. As a result, most of those crew members were killed. And all went overboard. The crew in the gun room were short of food and drink. And Muller decided they should try to attempt to retake control of the Meerman, okay?
So, but they're on the boat. The crew members, it gets overtaken, but some of them hide in rooms. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what... listen, I'm learning as we go also.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you are.
And so 12 crewmen left the gun room, shooting as they went. And... two of them died on the deck. The rest retreated back to the gun room, where another crewman who had been severely wounded later died. Where's the fact? What was crazy, though, was the mutiny happened because they asked some of the slaves to clean the guns. That was their mistake.
Why would you do that? That's the dumbest
thing.
They
were being very lazy.
Hey, do you want to clean my gun? Yeah. Fucking hell. And I would go, yes, please.
On the third day, the crew, trapped in the gun room, created a small explosion just outside it using gun power. Their hope was to frighten the Malagasy into submission, and a Malagasy woman who had been held in the gun room was instructed to tell the others if they didn't surrender, the crew would blow up the ship. The Malagasy responded by saying that they had seen the fearful effect that the explosion also had on the crew and refused to surrender.
Good for them.
Again, demanding they be returned to Madagascar. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
These are fucking people who deserve that respect. So they agreed. They said, yeah, go back to Madagascar. Then they said they ordered the ship to sail towards Cape Agulhas, the southernmost point of Africa. Muller's assessment was that the Malagasy had little skill in seafaring and navigation, and therefore would be unlikely to notice the deceptions. They said, hey, we're going back to Madagascar, but actually they're taking them to
mainland Africa. We've done something like this similar before. There was another story, I think, in another episode, but it was in America where...
That was Amistad.
Yeah, they tricked him. Okay, so they're taking them back to Madagascar.
So after 3 or 4 days sailing, they sighted land, the VOC settlement of Struis Bay. The leader of the mutineers was by now suspicious. The orientation of the sunrise and the birds did not match those of his homeland, which he pointed out. They get there, and the guy knows he's being fucked.
Mm-hmm.
He knows they're not in fucking Madagascar, because, you know, the sun's in a different place in the sky. Whatever. So they drop anchor, and the mutiny's leader, with more than 50, perhaps as many as 70 other men and women, set off for shore. They had promised their fellow Malagasy they would light signal fires on the beach and send the boats back if it was safe for them to follow. Dutch farmers had spotted the ship, observing that she was flying no flags, understood that to be a distress signal. But then it just gets really depressing.
Why? What happened?
Well, because they've
tricked him, the Dutch come.
And then they get them all and they take it back.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that part's less exciting. So they're sitting there and they're waiting for the signal fires. And then it just doesn't happen. And then it gets really sad. I don't even want to read what happens next, you know?
Do you know? Or?
Yeah, but I just thought that part was cool.
Yeah, but okay. And then they killed them all.
Well, they just put them back into slavery.
Ah. No more cleaning the gun.
No, they didn't get to clean any more guns.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Wow, the stupidest thing I've ever heard, actually. The
if you're enslaving
someone. The stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Mm.
is having slaves in the first place. Thank you very much, okay, Red Richardson.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
Red's the dumbest thing I've ever heard is letting your slave clean your gun. What are you, an idiot?
If anyone listens and has slaves, do not let them clean your weapons. Even if you can't be bothered to do it yourself. No one likes to clean their guns.
If anyone's listening and is a slave, get a weapon.
It's not. No one likes to clean guns. It's a boring, it's a thankless task. But as demonstrated by this ship, you do it yourself all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how to clean a gun, though. I'd be worried I'd shoot myself.
Well, you just make sure there's no bullets in it.
But then there'd be, if there's people who are like, oh, I'll do it for you, I'd probably say, yeah, okay, you do it.
What, someone that you've got in chains and you've, like, killed their whole family?
Maybe not, though.
No, I wouldn't do that. Not getting near my gun.
I like that you're not saying you wouldn't put someone in chains and kill their whole family.
I wouldn't do that, but if I did do that, if I did, I wouldn't give them my weapons to clean.
Yeah, it's very sad. That's the thing about history, is it doesn't always go the way you want it to.
No, and it's already happened, so there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Sort of sat and bone idly sort of reading it in broken English off a phone, passing it off as entertainment.
The one thing you can do long term is zoom out. Historically, you can zoom out far enough that history is not depressing anymore.
Yeah.
You zoom out every like 100 years, like, oh my God, look at everything that's been invented. You know, like, you can look at history that way, and that's cool.
You get the montage, and
but when you look at the nitty gritty of it, it's just people treating people horrifically.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so bleak.
Well, when people look back on like old England, they're like, we used to just play in the garden for hours.
Did we?
No one ever mentions the words you used to probably say whilst playing.
You know, before Britain developed like their naval fleet, which was quite recently, they weren't even taken seriously like as a world power.
No,
there's this idea that England was this world power forever.
It wasn't, only on
like 1700s. Before that,
the
Ottoman Empire was killing it. They wouldn't even visit.
No, of course,
here.
But we didn't even. Romans came, Vikings came. You know, we weren't like when we got the ships. That's when we got more money.
Well,
because you
pillaged India and you stole all of India's wealth. That was
not all of it.
That was where most of the money came from. That
bumped
up the West
and what China as well. The what was it called? The poppy war.
Yeah,
opium wars.
That's where China didn't want to make opium anymore because it was killing their people. And then Britain went there and said, "No. We think actually you should keep growing opium.
You really should. Yeah,
just like a fucking pimp."
Yeah, when we got the ships, that's when I think our toxic side, it was...
Ironically, now every seaside town is so fucking depressing. Like, they used to just be, that's where the wealth came in, right? Every port.
But that's where you'd holiday.
You ever go to Portsmouth?
Yeah.
You know, not, like, I like the people, but it doesn't have the happiest vibe.
No, it's the same, like, I remember being in Blackpool in the winter, and watching a like inflatable just smashing around across the beach, and you're like, oh, this is but like, nice places, but like Ryanair I think is kind of fuck them, because they used to be where everyone would holiday.
Yeah,
and now you can go, now a train to Blackpool is probably like, the fact that I can go to Tulum return for £450, yet to go get the train to Devon is £110 return.
Yes,
that's fucking insane.
Yeah,
I'm better off going to Tulum than I am to Blackpool. What's it to Blackpool? Probably 200 quid from here?
Yeah, if you buy on the day, yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Thank you. Grandpa Red.
You got any more facts that you don't know that you want to read badly off your phone?
Actually...
Whilst I sit and despair at what my life has become.
Calm down, Grandpa Red.
Oh, this is good. In Indonesia,
it's not my fault.
A boy who was with his dad.
Might have dyslexia.
Wait, the dad was king.
I might have dyslexia.
I feel like I'm at a child's play sometimes. You're going, okay, go on, yeah. Say the line.
Your life is a child's play. Your entire life is a child's play. Look at what I wrote.
Ooh, very good.
Okay, what else? Why are you just, you got a picture of a woman up on your phone?
That's Mozart. He's not a woman.
Okay. Oh, you got Mozart facts. Do you know it, or are we going to just read the...
I got Mozart facts.
Okay.
Mozart returned to Salzburg after the Mozart family grand tour of Europe.
Wait, so yeah, it was from a family of musicians. So they're like the Jackson 5.
No, it wasn't like the Jackson 5.
Was Mozart's family touring with him? Like,
well, they went around with him. He was the main dude, though.
Yeah, he was Mozart. Of course, he was the main dude.
Do you know about Mozart?
I know.
What do you think about him?
He did that Who Let the Dogs Out song. That was him, wasn't it?
That'd be great. Yeah, he did a bunch of symphonies and Who Let the Dogs Out, which they adapted recently.
I know, he's a classical musician from Austria, was he? Was he Austrian?
That's
you don't have a clue
interesting
either.
Idea. No, he's
the world's worst podcast. And there's some bad ones. So this takes some. What we're doing now is impressive.
Oh, he was born in the Holy Roman Empire.
Okay,
which is now Austria.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure most people have turned off right now. But
he
if you're still here,
ability.
You're a stronger person
he
than me.
Prodigious ability from his early childhood.
Yeah.
He was already competent on the keyboard and violin. He composed from the age of 5 and performed before European royalty. His father took him on a grand tour of Europe and then 3 trips to Italy. At 17, he was a musician at the Salzburg court, but grew restless and traveled in search of a better position.
So he was like Greta, but with talent, you know?
Yeah.
He brought joy instead of misery. Not that I think she's doing a bad thing, but we'd rather hear her play a little song on a keyboard, wouldn't we?
What if she could do both?
That she should do both, and she should occasionally go, the world's ending, whilst, you know, just make the message a bit more fun.
Yes.
Maybe a little drum kit, or, no, just a keyboard, I think, and then just sort of do the message. You've ruined my life.
Being able to do anything musically makes it more impressive. Like, musical comedy, the bar, like, there are great musical comedians, but the bar is lower. Like, because you can just play a song, and it can be amusing, and people think it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you don't bomb, because you're covering silence. There is no awkwardness. So yes. Everyone can just sit into it, and you just play. Yeah, I do think that with comedian. I've yet to see a musical comedian where I go, you couldn't do this with, you know what I mean? Like, you need the guitar.
I don't know. I know lots.
Really? I know lots, too, then.
They're
fuck
probably
it. They're great. All
no, but
of
they're
them
your
great.
Friends, is all I'm saying.
I know they are. Shit. That's why I'm so. But I was saying that as a joke. I think when I see it, I go, "Fuck, you're talented, and look in good shape."
Yeah, they say the same back to you while snickering.
They say the first bit.
Wait, but speaking of that, I heard that you went viral. There's a video of you in a gym working out.
No, so there's a. My gym, there's a really ripped guy who's very good at boxing, and he films himself doing workouts. And he posted one, and I'm in the background. I was caught in a candid moment. But I was having downtime, so I wasn't in full beast mode. And so I'm, like, lightly hitting the bags. And,
Don't you punch the bag once and then walk away and then come back?
And I do this, like, strut and then tap my hands together. at one point. So it was quite embarrassing. But yeah, Sunil Patel got his hands on it and sent it round. I believe he sent it to Harriet.
Where did he find it?
It was on Insta. So I was at the gig and I was just scrolling on Insta. And I was like, oh, the gym have put up a video. And then I just saw in the background. I went, oh,
yeah, that's tough.
But yeah, Ishan messaged the guy and said, can I have the video? And the guy just sent it to him. So there's a good level of trust at that gym.
Yeah, like Mozart, you've traveled around spreading your abilities.
Yes, I have. I've been to Blackpool. I have been to... I'm going to... Boop! That's me beeping that out. In July, where else have I been? Estonia, I did a gig there. I remember being in Estonia and seeing a sign that said Russia. 100 kilometers, and I was like, ooh, scary. Well, they were all terrified of Russia in Estonia.
That makes sense.
What I found, yeah. And I think, yeah, fair enough, you know. Fair enough.
Yeah, Mozart died at 35. That's a bit sad.
That is sad. That's a year older than me.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Do you think you're on track to...
No. Why would you say that?
Because you always had that joke.
What was it? Oh, yeah.
You talked about how you'd look at famous people and be like,
oh, no, no, but that doesn't end with me dying. That ends with me being 88.
Oh, no, I didn't mean on track to die. I meant on track to succeed like he did by 35.
Oh, definitely. There's
no, not die.
I'm hoping for a part in your series of the Vikings under 16.
You could play a corpse.
One of the dead elders.
Yeah, one of the dead elders who they don't get rid of his body because the little kids like to sit on it as like a couch. And you just have to lay there all day naked while kids sit on you. And I intimacy coordinate it.
It sounds so horrible. The worst show ever made.
No, it's the best show ever made. The thing is, there's a real there's a real thrust to it because it's like, yeah, it's about, you know, that period in history that has forgotten about when it was just all kids.
Isn't Euphoria basically like that? I've seen bits of it, like Rosie watches it and I just go, this is just 16-year-olds like
it's not
making
it's,
out
it's
with
like
each
25-year-olds
other.
Pretending to be 16.
Yeah, but I go, who's, what the fuck? You know, like just like 16-year-olds doing K and having sex is what it seems like. I also
like
just don't care about teenagers and their, you know what I mean?
No, teenagers' like, problems are so annoying.
Yeah, you just go, who cares?
I used to really care. When I was a teen, and even in my 20s, I loved like a good teen like coming-of-age story.
Mm.
Then there just reached a day where I watch anything like that now, and I'm like, I don't, oh, your mom's nice, but you blame her for your dad leaving? It's your dad's fault. Can we just jump to the part where you realize it's your dad's fault?
Well, when
this
they're together,
so boring.
And they end the movie together, and you're like, yeah, but you're 16, so you're not going to stay together. In rare cases, people do, which is cool, but you're not, most case scenario, at the end of the movie, she cheats on him when she goes to university.
Yeah.
You know, or he cheats on her, you know.
Or they cheat on each other.
Cheat on each other.
At the same time.
Or they just split up and go, look, we were really young, and they never speak again, you know. Because when you're young, you think it matters. You think everyone is your best, like your friends are going to be your friends forever.
Yeah.
Not often the case. And actually, it's quite unhealthy to maintain a school friendship group forever, I think. Do you know what I mean?
A whole group.
Yeah, when you go, well,
no, I get
what have you guys just been sat in this forever?
Yeah. Well, that's what most people do.
It's funny, there was a group
that's
of my
school. Your way of justifying not talking to your school friends.
No.
It would be unhealthy if I was to be friends with you. But Red, we've reached out. It would not be healthy for me.
There's a group who were like older than me at school, and they were like cool guys. They're still all friends, and it's fucking sad.
Yeah,
because they still think they're like we're the guys. It's like, but no, you're not.
But that would be so amazing to feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah, someone needs to tell him. I'll tell him.
But what if, Red, but if they are invited you in?
No. They always put pictures of each other on there, and I go, I want to comment. Cool to see you all branched out.
Yeah, take
you know,
him down.
Take him down. Are you going to pass out in a minute?
No, I just started yawning. You thought it just was last week I got really tired.
You were very tired and very sleepy boy.
Which
would be fine if it wasn't for the cameras.
Yeah. I just had a moment. No, I just had a... I have moments.
You do. I do research.
As a working father, I get tired.
Working on what? Your research.
A working
That's
father.
For sure. You were on a show, TV show the other day, nearly got punched in the face.
Can't talk about it.
You can't.
Can't talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Until it comes out.
Okay, okay.
And then I'll tell the story on the Patreon.
Okay.
Okay, did you know in 1766, Henry Fordrinier was born?
Who's
Henry Fordrinier, you're probably
is that
asking?
Henry Ford, and he changed his name.
No. That means he would have been like 140 when he was doing that car shit.
Okay.
Henry Fordrinier.
Mm-hmm.
He was a paper-making entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He invented the paper wheel thing. Okay.
You just found that now, didn't you?
No.
That wasn't part of your research. You just scrolled through.
No, just let me get there.
Okay.
He invented a machine that created like rolls of paper. Right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And then you could print big piece of paper. Because you ever have it where you're writing something and you think, oh,
I need more paper.
I need more paper. This guy made rolls of papers. Then you could write across the whole roll and have like a giant scroll.
Yeah.
and you could cut it up and then make books.
So not loo roll, this is just paper roll.
This is paper, yeah, that's what he made. He invented a big paper roll. That's pretty cool. I've never done invented anything.
No, you haven't.
No. Yeah, I invented this podcast, that was me.
You did.
But the invention, it cost £60,000 and caused the brother, they went bankrupt. And then...
Well, 60,000 back then is what?
A big 60 amount.
60 million now.
Yeah. Because of some laws, it was difficult to protect the patent on his paper thing. So everybody stole his idea, and he didn't get any money.
Oh, no.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So he invented this cool big paper thing because it made paper easier to make, but then he didn't get any money. But then, in 1839, a petition was brought before Parliament, and in 1840, £7,000 was paid to him and his family.
Well, they're still 53,000 down.
Yeah, they didn't really come out on top.
They gave to the world a gift and received back nothing.
But it was just a hard thing to patent, I think. They patented it wrong. So.
Yeah.
How annoying is that if you invent something and you think you're giving the world a gift, as you said, and then your reward for it is to go bankrupt. Everyone steals your idea and makes money off it. That'd be fucking infuriating. And it's paper, which means you're just walking around like, we've all known comedians who've quit comedy, and you run into them and then you say, how are you? And they say, comedy's not a meritocracy. Like, they just like really get in there.
Yeah.
And they're just fucking angry.
I've never been happier. God, I was sick of the egos and the bullshit and the fucking politics. Yeah. And you're like, or you couldn't do it.
Yeah, you just couldn't.
And I get them. It's full of scumbags, you know?
So is life, though.
Life is full of scumbags. In comedy, I've met some of the best and worst people, you know?
Yes.
People that make you want to commit suicide because you just go, is this humanity?
And some of the worst.
And people who are good. You know,
but like this guy, we had to walk around being bitter because he's bankrupt. You give him the world this big paper thing.
Enjoy your paper roll.
So he picks up a fucking book. He can't even read a book because it reminds him of like the injustice of
the
fact.
He can't wipe his ass.
Yeah. He's like, this is a no paper household. They're like, hey, man, computers haven't been invented yet. How are we going to do that? He's like, we don't write. We don't read.
And that'd be funny if he stopped wiping his ass in protest and then invented the bidet by mistake, and that got stolen from him as well.
It's just a hose. You can't patent this. Fuck.
Another thing.
Yeah, just walking around and inventing shit.
Stuff of protest. It just keeps spiraling.
Yeah.
Baby wipes. Yeah. Oh, God.
He's like, you know, it's good to be first or to be best.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier to be first. That's like a famous quote.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I was first, actually.
Yeah.
I was first.
And he's still...
And I was the best, and everyone stole from me.
And the only person talking about him is us.
Yeah. Well, I haven't forgotten you, Henry Fournier.
On that note, we would like to end.
We wouldn't like to end. We're going to go record our Patreon episode now where we have some hot stories.
We have some hot stories from listeners. So thank you very much for that. Thanks to our super genius Patreons.
Christopher, Matthew, Spencer. Thank you to Red for...
being here, sitting through this. Thank you for
sitting
through
it. That was actually a great app, and Red's pretending it wasn't great.
Okay. I will be doing next week's research so we can have a good one.
Goodbye.
I'll see you soon. Bye. That was another episode of The Year Is. Thank you very much for listening. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review. It all helps. I'd like to thank our producer, Jody. And also I'd like to thank Josh Weller for our intro music and song. It's very catchy. It's very nice. I'm sure you'll enjoy it at the beginning. So big thanks to Josh Weller. He's on Instagram at Josh Weller. Josh Weller. Follow him and keep spreading the word of The Year Is. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.